I've probably spoke to you before about the Old Testament, but there's a great story in there about Abraham. We're talking about the cultivation of imagination. You wouldn't think that would have any place in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when you're talking about Abraham, who comes to the promised land, and God promises him progeny, lots of children. He promises him riches and wealth. He promises him leadership. But without going too deeply into the story of Abraham and Lot, again, it's a parable, and it's a beautiful parable. But basically, Abraham and Lot come to the promised land. Lot is the nephew of Abraham, and Lot is a guy that doesn't see God. In fact, in other words, he doesn't see potential. He doesn't see potentiality. So he comes to the promised land, and Abraham recognizes that in himself he does see God. He does see potentiality, and he recognizes that he can't exist in the same place with Lot. So he says to Lot, you can have your choice of any of this land you want. And Lot chooses Sodom and Gomorrah. He chooses all the richest land, all the most fertile ground. And he wanders off. And Abraham is left with barren ground. He's left with nothing. So the parable is really saying, initially it's saying that we can't have the negative and the positive in the same place at the same time. If you've got one part of you saying nothing's possible and another part of you saying, well, everything's possible, you are divided against yourself. You are a divided self. And the word divide means demon. The word demon comes from the word divide. So if we're divided against ourselves, we're never going to create anything, because one person is doing and another person is undoing. So Abraham recognises this and lets Lot go off and choose the most fertile ground there is, the most fertile land there is. Because Lot doesn't see potential, because he doesn't see God, he doesn't see logos or purpose, eventually Sodom and Gomorrah is razed to the ground. And because he hasn't got the imagination and the belief, Lot ends up living in a cave, sleeping with his daughters. He's so afraid of the world. Abraham, on the other hand, takes this barren land with nothing on it, and from it he creates riches, he creates leadership, he creates progeny, but not without a lot of work. I love the story of Abraham, because it's kind of saying, well, Abraham became this leader of nations, Abraham became a rich merchant, Abraham had lots of children. But the actual story is more interesting, the actual story is really exciting. Because all the time Abraham was trying to create from this barren land, he would go to God, or he'd go to his higher self, or his highest vibration, and he would say, where is it? Where's my progeny? You know, where's my children? Where's my riches? Where's my leadership? I don't see it. It's not there. And the message he kept getting back from God was, you've got to do your part in this. You've got to create and cultivate a powerful imagination. I'm giving you the energy, but you've got to build your beliefs, and you've got to cultivate your imagination, and you've got to see progeny. You've got to see riches. You've got to see leadership. You've got not just that, you've got to see it in other people, but you've got to see that it's possible for you. You've got to feel worthy of that. It's already yours. It's already there. It just needs to be created with your imagination. And that's the part that excited me. Your imagination needs to be cultivated. You need to farm your imagination. You need to put it to work. You need to sit down and see the things you want to see. So God said to him, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have lots of children. You're going to have riches. You're going to have leadership. So that's his divine instruction, that's what he follows, but his part of it is to imagine, use his imagination to create that. So he takes his seminal energy, he takes his soul energy, he takes his essential energy, and he filters it through a very powerful imagination, and he creates in the manifest world. Abraham did exactly the opposite. Abraham took his unrestrained imagination and his lack of belief, and he took riches and land and progeny and destroyed all of it. He destroyed it all with the same process reversed. Isn't that amazing? So I love the fact that Abraham was a man as well. He was a real person. He was like, fucking hell, you know, where is my riches? You keep promising me riches. Where is it? Fucking hell, where is my, fertile ground? Where is my children? Where's my leadership? He says, my wife's 80. My wife Sarah's 80. She is not going to have children. It's too late for her to have children. And even his wife, Sarah, was saying to him, listen, you know, you're having conversations with God, but it's not happening. It's not working. You're not getting the results. I'm not going to have children. I'm over 80. How am I going to have children? People mocked Abraham. And so Abraham would go back to God and he would say, where's my progeny? Where's my riches? Where's my leadership? And he would get the same message back from his intuition, his instruction. Do the work. Do the work. Do the work. I said to an actor recently, and we were talking about a play, and he was saying, I'm not getting it. Why am I not getting it? Why is it not coming out? I said, you haven't learned the lines. Learn the lines. The first thing, learn the lines. Do the work. Someone said, I want to be, you know, I want to write for television, you know, well then write the stuff down and send it off. And if it comes back, send it off again. And if you send it 20 times and it still comes back, you still haven't done your job. Send it 21 times. Refine it. Improve it. Work on it. Work on your imagination. So his intuition kept saying, do the work. You haven't done the work. You've got to do the work. You've got to cultivate the imagination. You've got to cultivate your ability to be able to see not just the potentiality of something, but the potentiality of you doing something. Not just the potentiality of me being a writer, of it being possible for me to, or of it being possible for someone to have a book published, but the possibility of me being able to have a book published. Not just the possibility of someone healing, but the possibility of me healing. Not just the possibility of somebody making money, but the possibility of me making money. So if we start to cultivate our imagination and we start to see progeny, or we start to see riches or leadership, and as we try to imagine it, we feel blocks and we think, oh, well, I'm not worthy, or I'm not worth it, or it's not for the likes of me. They're the blocks that we need to clean and dissolve and break down. And we do that by disproving them, by looking at them and saying, well, of course it's possible. The first time I won a BAFTA, I remember being nominated and sitting in meditation and trying to go to the BAFTAs in my mind, and I tried to see myself win one. And when I picked it up in every time I went to pick the BAFTA up in my imagination, when I was cultivating my imagination, this voice kept saying, oh, not you, you're not good enough, don't be greedy, you know, don't get above yourself, all those old scripts, all those old voices, you know, someone else deserves it more, you know, what's the matter with you, why can't you be grateful, you've made a good film, you've been nominated. And I just couldn't see myself winning it, and I didn't win it. And then the next year, when we were nominated again, I sat down in my meditation, I cultivated my meditation, I created a tunnel, and I saw the BAFTA, and those voices tried to come in and say, you're not worthy, and I pushed them out. I said, we deserve this, we've worked for this, we've earned this, and we're going to honour this, we're going to do something with this, we're going to go out and serve with this key. I knew at that moment unequivocally that anything was possible. I knew it was possible to create anything. If I could create that alignment and that strong imagination, I could create anything. And to be honest, for a while it created a dissonance, it created a confusion. I thought, I didn't understand, what does that mean? I can create anything, and then if I can create anything, what's the point of anything? I didn't understand. And I stopped doing that exercise for a long time. And then later on I realised the importance of what I was doing, the importance of storytelling, the importance of imagination, the importance of enjoying reality by changing our stories to better stories. And I started to practice it more and more. In fact, when we went to the BAFTAs the second time, me and Sharon went to Leicester Square. Sharon said, this is where the cameras will be, this is where the red carpet will be, this is where the crowd will be, this is where we will walk out with our BAFTA. I went through the whole imagination. I went through the whole cultivation of imagination. That takes a lot of energy to cultivate the imagination. But I like the fact that Abraham kept going back and said, so where is it? Where is it? I'm not seeing it. What am I doing wrong? And his message was, cultivate the imagination. Cultivate it, see it. And eventually his wife had a baby after the age of 80. And he had lots of children with his next wife because his wife died. And he had leadership and he had wealth. And the parable is, nothing is impossible if you can cultivate the imagination. Nothing is impossible. We create our reality, we maintain our reality, we dissolve our reality. We do that through our seminal energy, but we have to play our part. If our imagination says it's not possible, it's us and them, you know, the doors are locked to me, then that's exactly what we're going to create. We have to create the opposite. It's possible, and I'm going to do the work. And I'm going to cultivate the imagination. And once I've created it, I'm going to maintain it. And if I don't want it anymore, I'll let it dissolve back into the ether and make a different shape. Cultivate the imagination. Do the work.